Let's open Holy Scripture to Matthew chapter 6. The reading this morning includes the actual words of the Lord's Prayer, and I'd like you to pay special attention to how Jesus in perfect wisdom lays out the prayer and the order of it, because we'll be referencing that, especially in the first point of the sermon this morning. Matthew chapter 6, we'll read the first 15 verses of that chapter. This is God's Word. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And so far, we read the Word of God this morning. It's on the basis of Matthew 6 and other portions of Holy Writ that we have the instruction of Lord's Day 47. That reads this way: which is the first petition? Hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Beloved in the Lord, you bear the name Reformed. If someone came up to you tomorrow at work or in the store and asked you, "You're a member at Peace Protestant Reformed Church. What does that mean, Reformed? And what is that Reformed idea?" Would you be able to answer that question? If you're not able to answer that, and you've come to years of discretion, then it would be good to pull out some books, some articles, and read about that. Why are we Peace Protestant Reformed Church? But of all of the things that you could say to that person, and there are a whole host of subjects that you could bring up, really all you would have to say is one thing, because it's all-encompassing. What it means to be Reformed is that in all things, God's name must be glorified. That's it. Remember the solas of the Reformation and what the last of those is? To the glory of God alone. That sweeps over everything. That's what it means to be Reformed. And what we're going to be considering this morning in this first petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Hallowed be thy name," is precisely that subject. God's name and God's glory. And that's really the petition that we're making, and we'll hear about that and unpack that. We're asking God for grace to praise and glorify His name. And that's really the whole goal of our life, that we would glorify Him. Last time, we were in the address of the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven." And we said that's where we have to begin in this whole consideration of prayer, with its address. And we noticed a couple of things, really more than that, but we noticed mainly that there's a balance in that which Jesus teaches us. He's a personal God to us, but at the same time and always, He's God who's exalted and infinitely on high in heaven in all of His majesty. And we noticed that Jesus teaches us to take this address upon our lips, and when we speak that with the mind and with the heart, He uses that to spark in us a reverence for and a confidence in God. So we considered that address, and we said, don't begin right away with petitions. Heidelberg Catechism doesn't start there, and neither ought we, but the address first, and then follows all of those petitions. Now, when we say petition, all we're talking about is asking for something. We understand that even from our everyday talk and language, a petition is making a supplication, and in prayer, asking for something from God. And what we're going to learn is that this petition, "Hallowed be thy name," has to do with God's name and His glory. But really, the whole first set of petitions, "Hallowed be thy name," "Thy kingdom come," "Thy will be done," those three, they all have to do with God. And even when you come to the second set of petitions, "Give us this day our daily bread," "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," we have not, with that second set of petitions, now left the whole subject of God behind, but even those have everything to do with the glory of God. So there is in the whole prayer, all of the things that we ask, a unity, and the unity is everything must be for His praise. We're going to hear something about that unity of the petitions too today. We take as our theme praying for the hallowing of God's name. Let's see, first of all, the priority of this petition. We'll dip a little bit into its content there, but mainly show how important it is in our prayers. So the priority of this petition, second, the content of this petition, and then third, the urgency of this petition. Hallowed be thy name. What Jesus teaches us there has to do with the name of God. Of course it does. Hallowed be thy name. You're well familiar with this idea by now, but God's name is very different from our names. Have you ever noticed that? When you call someone by their name, there may be a reason that their dad and mom gave them the name that they did. Maybe some special memory or whatever it may be. But that person's name really doesn't tell you who that person is. It doesn't get at their character and their nature. It's just a string of letters, and we have names so that we don't get each other mixed up and we can distinguish each other from one another. So our names really don't have a whole lot of significance. But God's name is rich, and it does very much have a significance because God is His name. You must not think that here's God, and then here's His name, and they're related in some ways, but they're really not the same. No, God is His name, and that immediately shows us how important it is. And God has revealed His name. He's manifested or made it known in the Word, Jesus Christ. Only begotten Son, who took to Himself flesh, Emmanuel, crucified, dead, buried, risen again, ascended to be at God's right hand. God has made Himself known to us. What is this name and all of its glory and holiness and majesty? He's shown that in Christ. And this name of God, and again, we're talking about God Himself, is holy. That's what stands out in this petition. It's a holy name. There's no other gods beside Him. He's infinite in all of His attributes. He's consecrated to Himself. He does everything for His name's sake. And He's incomparable. We use a lot of lists, don't we? This is the first thing I have to do today because it's most important, but I've got 2, 3, 4, 5, and I've got to do those things too, and it's all part of one list. We don't put God in a list, even in the sense that He's the highest and He's the most glorious and lifted up, but then there are these other things. God doesn't even belong in a list, and He belongs in no category whatsoever. But He is incomparable, highly exalted and infinitely so above every other name and every other creature. And if you wanted to summarize the fact that God's name is a holy name, maybe you could just use one word, and that's separate. Holy, entirely separate from every other name. And from His whole creation. That's the name Jesus is talking about in this petition. And you notice, with the explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism here, what a focus, even in these words, it puts on that name, which is to say God Himself. Hallowed be thy name, that is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works. And then a little later on. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. has to do, this petition, with the name of God, but also this, the name and the glory of God. And now we're getting at the heart of what this petition is, the glory of that name of God. Jesus teaches us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Now, when he teaches us that, and when you take on your lips, "Hallowed be thy name," you're not making God's name more high. You're not lifting up that name more than it was before. And when you say, "Hallowed be thy name," you're not making that name more holy, of course. Even just to say that is absurd, and I think you understand that, because we just established the fact that his name is infinitely high already, and it is a holy name, entirely separate. We don't do anything to that name when we make this petition. But when you do take that, those words on your lips, "Hallowed be thy name," you are saying this: grant that we may acknowledge that thy name is holy. You see, this has to do with us. And when you say, "Hallowed be thy name," you're saying, grant that we may see that thy name is holy, and that we may grow more and more conscious of thy glory, and that thou in thy glory and in thy infinite greatness and in thy exaltedness may be more and more known by us. That's what we're saying. Heidelberg Catechism uses not only that word "sanctify," but it gives a couple synonyms here to help us understand what we're praying. Sanctify, glorify, and praise. So when you say, "Hallowed be thy name," you're saying, grant that we may, now from our perspective and in our consciousness, glorify thee. That is, magnify and extol thy glorious perfections, speak of them, and also that we may praise thee, rejoice in thee, and exalt thee, and make our boast in thee. That's the petition. And it is a petition. Sometimes maybe we forget that when we get to "Give us this day our daily bread." We say, well, that's pretty easy to understand. We're asking for something from God. But even here, we're asking for grace. That's what the petition is. Grant, Lord, thy grace that I may acknowledge thy holiness. And grant unto me that strength from on high, that I may see thee in thy glory and become more conscious of that and know thee more and more. I need that grace. And it's that nature of a petition that the Heidelberg Catechism brings out when it says, grant us first rightly to know thee and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee, and so on. And then a little later when it says, further also, and the idea is implied, grant to us that we may so order and direct our whole lives. We're asking for grace. It's a petition. God's name might be compared to the sun. And I think this helps us understand it a little bit. The sun, maybe not so much on a day like this, but think of a summer day at noon, not a cloud in the sky. The sun shines with all of its fullness and brightness. And whether you have a day like this or a summer day, that never changes. And we'll get to that in a moment. And like that, God's name shines, radiates with all of its glory and in all of its holiness. But sometimes, like on a day like today, there are clouds that obscure that sunlight. And that doesn't mean on this Sunday that the sun isn't shining, and we all know that. The sun is shining just as brightly as it ever was. It's not diminished at all. But in our vision, because of those clouds, the sun is not very bright. It's obscured by those clouds. Now, something like that, there is something which obscures the glory of God. It's the mists and the clouds of sin. That doesn't mean that the glory of God has been diminished at all as such. His name is still the same, and He shines forth infinitely in all of His glory. But in our vision, that sin clouds us, and we don't see that glory as much as we should. And when we sin, that can cloud the vision of others, and they're not conscious of the holiness and the majesty and the glory of God like they should. Name of God, always the same, shining forth in its infinite glory. But sometimes our vision can be obscured. And now you understand the petition and how urgent it is, something we'll come back to. Father, grant thy grace that I may see in my life, and that we may too, thy perfections and thy holiness. That petition in our prayer has the priority. It's the heart. It's the chief thing of everything that we pray. Jesus teaches us how primary God's name and God's glory are. And He teaches that in a couple of different ways. He teaches that, first of all, in the address, which we already covered last Sunday. Our Father which art in heaven. Jesus is not only teaching us a proper attitude toward God, which is going to color the whole of our prayer, and not only is He exciting in us a reverence for and confidence in God when we take that upon our lips, but He has us say that name, Father in heaven, and He's teaching us this is what your prayer is all about. It's wrapped up all in that name. Father in heaven. And when you think of a child, because remember that's what the address is, isn't it? Children praying to their father. What does a child want, especially little boys and girls? They don't want their dad's name to be run through the mud. They want dad's name to be spoken well of. You know how strong my dad is? You know how smart my dad is? That's what they want. How much more for adopted children of the Father? What characterizes them? We don't want Father's name to be dragged through the mud and to be spoken evilly of, but we want Him to be glorified and praised. So already in the address, Jesus is teaching us how primary the name and glory of God are. But He teaches that, secondly, in the position of this petition. Our Father which art in heaven, and then what comes next? We read it in the chapter and you know it well. It's not, give us this day our daily bread, or forgive us our debts, or lead us not into temptation. Those petitions are not first, but this, hallowed be thy name. And it's as if Jesus is teaching His disciples, I'm going to put that right at the front of the prayer, immediately following the address, because I'm instructing you that this is most important, and this has to go through the whole of your prayer. It has priority. What does that really look like, though, in your prayers? Now we're talking on a ground level, very practically speaking, that the name and glory of God have the primacy in your prayers. What does that look like? Well, I'll tell you what it does not look like. That maybe we take these words on our lips, hallowed be thy name, or something similar, glory be to thee, grant that we may praise thee in everything that we do, and we include that in our prayer, sort of in an automatic way, because we know that's a Christian and a Reformed prayer to say something about the glory of God, and you better not say amen without saying something about that. But then, after having included that at the beginning or somewhere in there, the whole rest of the prayer and all the rest of the petitions we make really have nothing to do with the glory of God. And when we would study them, they have more to do with our own name and praying about our needs in a selfish way. I say again, just to include these words in a sort of lifeless way and abandon those words in the rest of the prayer, that's not what we're saying when we say this has the priority, merely that we include the words. But that this petition is chief does mean that it permeates everything that we say. It runs through everything. This praise of God and the glory that is due to His name and my need to be strengthened to do that runs in a living way through everything that I say in my prayer. It's the heart of it. Just like you have a beating heart inside your chest cavity, and you cannot understand the human body without understanding the heart. And just like that heart pumps blood through your whole body, including your extremities, so also this petition, which has to do with God Himself and His glory, you can't understand prayer without understanding the heart. And it's as if this whole idea, I need the grace of God to glorify His name, it's like blood pumped from that heart through all of our petitions. There are a lot of things that we pray about. And according to God's will, we'll come to some of those petitions. Like, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, and daily bread, and so on. But when you take every single one of those petitions that are coming up, sure, they're talking about different things. There's variety there. God's will and my submission to it, and His kingdom and the coming of it, and I need daily provisions for my body. But when you take each of those petitions, and it's almost like taking up carpet, and when you peel them back, you'll see that what's underneath there is something more than about God's will and about His kingdom and about bread and so on. What's underneath and at the essence of each one of those petitions is this. Ultimately, I pray for this, Lord. I ask for this because I want Thy name to be glorified, and that's the most important thing in my life. Take, for example, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, I'm suffering. I've been mistreated. I have lost. Grant that I would submit my will to Thine and bend my will to Thy will and bow under that and not insist upon or exalt my will or complain about Thy ways. And sure, I'm praying about submission to Thy will, but the deepest reason that I want that in my life, that I don't want to complain and that I do want to bend underneath Thy will, why I ask for grace for that is because my bowing down under Thee and submitting to Thee is to Thy praise. And I want other people to see my life and to praise Thee likewise when they see that sort of submission. And from that point of view, prayer is so self-empty when you really think about it. Yes, I have needs. And yes, God has told me that I may ask of Him to supply my needs of body and soul. And he has even told me that he will provide for those things, but ultimately, it's not about this body that I have and this soul, but he gives them to me for the exaltation of his name. This primary petition has a content to it. And the Hybrid Catechism helps us out there in knowing what specifically now we're asking. And it begins this way. Grant us first rightly to know thee and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. Makes reference there to the works of God. You can think of it this way. Here are his works. And then what shine out of the things that God does are his perfections. You might say, really, who God is. His name is shown in what he does. Before collection, we sang a versification, or after collection, we sang a versification of Psalm 104, which makes reference to at least a couple of works that God performs, namely creation and providence. Creation and providence. Which works reveal something about who God is in his glory. Comets and immense stars, prowling bears and little creeping things in jungles, and deep oceans and dry land with all sorts of formations on it. God made it all. And whether it's that little thing creeping around in the jungle or that big bear, all things by his hand, he holds it up and continuously gives it existence in his providence. And he governs it so wisely and perfectly to a certain goal. You see, in the creation and providence of God is displayed the wisdom of God and the power of God. And you can go on and on. Just as a side note, whenever I come to this Lord's Day, I always think to myself, here we have the job description for the teacher in our covenant schools. The teacher's job is to instruct the students in the creation. And there are all sorts of different facets of that. But just think, mathematics and chemistry and physics and biology and the other subjects. And what is the teacher's task but this? To stand before our children and not merely teach them a formula, let's say, but to say, look at this formula now. And do you see, students, how the wisdom of God is shown in this? And we're going to talk about tides today in the ocean. And do you see something of the immense power of our God in this? Look at the creation and see in it the attributes of God and how his name shines in that. And that's why, students, even though there might be some subjects you don't particularly care for, they're all important because they show you something about your God. Christian education is so important. God not only has these works of creation and providence, but also the work of salvation. And of all of the things that he does, it points at this, doesn't it? This is most important. We're going to sing, after the worship service is finished, a versification of Psalm 105, which records the works of God, and you might say the salvation of God of his people in the Old Testament. All of these things as in a record, and it shows how he's faithful in his covenant to his people. And in due time, when God had determined that in his counsel, he sent forth his only begotten Son into the flesh. Behold, and now think of that list the Lord's Day gives. The power and wisdom and goodness and justice and mercy and truth of God on full display at Calvary. And then you go through that list again. The power and wisdom and goodness and justice and mercy and truth of God that's manifested in full beautiful color at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the fact that he takes a people like us and he delivers us from everlasting death, and he gives to us everlasting life, and he gathers and preserves a church and lifts her up all the way into heaven to be exalted there and to be around his throne forever and ever in delights. How God shows in Jesus Christ at the storybook, the Bible. Just how glorious and beautiful and holy he is. When you say, "Hallowed be thy name," you are praying this: Grandfather, that we would know thee as thou hast displayed thyself in these works. And not just an intellectual knowledge, although I need that too, because it goes here, but it goes down to here also. Grant unto me that heart knowledge and that fervent love for thee. Cause, O God, that I would truly know thee from the heart and be growing in that knowledge. And when I have that knowledge, having that, that I would then see thy name as it's displayed in creation and providence and salvation. And this is the end of it, the goal of it. That I would glorify thee for that. That's what I want above all things. What does a Christian school teacher want? Not that students leave the classroom and say, "That was a nice thing that we learned about that formula and about tides of the ocean." The teacher doesn't want that. What does a minister want? That the congregation goes and says, "Now we intellectually understand this." No. What a God we have. We love him. And praise be to him. That's what the teacher and the minister want the people to say. As far as the content is concerned, grant that we might write, "Know thee," and knowing thee that we would glorify thee. And then this: "And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account." You do realize, don't you? It's possible that your life and mine be an occasion for the blaspheming of God's name. I don't know if we think upon this level enough. You are called by the name of Christian. And when we live inconsistent with that name, that is, we talk in a way and we behave in a way that does not jive with what it means to be a Christian, that gives occasion for the name of God to be blasphemed, because there are always people that are watching, and you know that. Even people that are trying to catch us in that. And what a sad thing it is when we talk, but the walk does not match with that. There is, for me as a minister, and for the office bearers, a strong warning here. We occupy an office, and we're very public figures, especially the ministers. A warning that our conduct and the way that we talk matches with our teaching and our confession. And when an office bearer falls, there's a glaring inconsistency, and it shows before the whole world. And I don't say that to bring any man's name into the mud. I say that as a warning to myself and as a warning to us. Not just office bearers, but when something happens in the church, as it has recently, that shouting at you, young people. And that's a strong message, like a blinking red light to us as adults too, to the breadwinners when we go to work and others are watching us, to all of us. Don't forget that sin in your life, that inconsistency, it's not only horrible because it's sin, but what does it communicate to others? What am I doing on the weekend? How am I conducting myself? What kind of things do I say at work? How do I carry myself? Remember, your life may be an occasion for the blasphemy of God's name. But it's also possible that our life be the occasion for the honoring of God's name by His people. And I think that happens especially when the Lord has cast us into some suffering. Because that's when the church is really watching. When this member is squeezed, so to speak, how will that person behave and what words will come out of this person? And I'm not saying a perfect life in suffering. Of course not. We have our sins. But a kind of consistent godliness, even in those times. What a witness. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. What do you pray? Catechism really just puts it on your lips, doesn't it? Grant, Father, that the whole of our life would not be an occasion for the blasphemy of Thy name, but that our lives would be the occasion for the honoring of Thy name among Thy people. That's what I want. Pray that. And do that with a level of urgency. And not just in that respect, but in all respects. Something that we've been sprinkling in here or there, but we concentrate on that now. What an urgency is this prayer from this point of view, that we do need that grace to glorify Him. And that's necessary that we have that grace of God because of the reality of our sinful flesh that we have inside of us. That old man, and that old man wages a constant warfare against giving God the glory that is due to His name. And according to that sinful flesh which dwells within, we want to give ourselves the glory. And when you inspect your life, and when I do, as I have this week, you're almost embarrassed, as I am, how important our name is to us. Almost embarrassed how many times during the day I think about myself and my reputation and how I want my name to just dazzle and sparkle in front of people. And I want them to speak well of me. You know how strong of a temptation that is and how highly we can think about ourselves.
And that's why the prayer is so earnest. Father, I need thy grace that I would not exalt myself, but that I would glorify thee.
That old man wages a constant warfare too against that growing knowledge, intellectual and heart knowledge, and having that knowledge to glorify God. The old man wars against that. And according to that sinful flesh within me, I hate that knowledge. I don't want that. I don't have time for that. That's not interesting to me. And I certainly don't want to grow in that. That's according to that old man that I say those things, and I loathe the very thought of praising God. And when you think about it, how dull we can be so often to that creation outside and to the fact that God's upholding it and governing it, and especially how dull we can be with what He's done for us. I can be so cold to that. And that's why I pray with an urgency, grant me the grace therefore, Father, without which grace I can't. Grant me thy grace that I may know thee, love that knowledge, and glorify thee for everything that thou hast done. The old man fights his wars on a lot of fronts, doesn't he? Also on this one, against godly words and godly life. And according to that sinful flesh in us, the things that can come out of the mouth can be pretty filthy, gossipy, slanderous, and those actions pretty evil. Lord, make my life consistent with my confession. And may that be an occasion for the honoring of thy name by thy church. Grant me that grace. And then you learn to pray, don't you? Pretty soon after that, even though we're not up to it yet, forgive us our debts. Because there are a whole lot of sins in that regard. God hears this prayer for grace. For Jesus' sake, very same one from whom radiate all of those perfections. And his answer is, I will strengthen you, my beloved adopted children. I will, to glorify me, to praise me, and that the whole of your life would be that, and be the occasion for the honoring of my name among my saints. That's his answer. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And even as we think of our circumstances in this moment, not only this prayer, but this message that we have heard, we pray that in the very hearing of it, thy name be praised. And that we would go home, carry this message home, remember it, and that would be the very heartbeat and the strong and really the only desire of our life, that we would praise Thee in everything, great God, Creator, Sustainer, and God of our salvation. Hear us in Jesus' name. Amen.